Praise the Lord. I welcome you to this second service. Tomorrow we mark the beginning. Midnight tonight, we start our annual 21-day fast. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Yeah. Yes. Amen. It's a 21-day fast, and we are all participating. So we must participate, because this year is loaded. We are going to grow deep, go deep in God, and we are going to build our destinies, whether the devil likes it or not. We are going to set, I hope you've set your big dreams, the dreams that the finger of God will move and the hand of God will move. Amen? Amen. Go back throughout this fast. Go and listen to the transition messages on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You go over them until you start hearing them in your sleep. That's when you know you are approaching. Please, there's no room for lazy Christianity this year. We will all arrive. Amen? Amen. God is on our side this year. And we are doing great things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today I want to prepare you for this great fast. It's a fast that you must participate in. Fasting is very important. We looked at the benefits of fasting on Friday. We said fasting helps us deal with evil. It says, and deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from what? From evil, the Bible says. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. So there are temptations and there are evil. You can use determination to handle temptation, but evil does not respond to determination. No, evil respond to the power of God. So fasting gears you up to attract the power of God. So you must fast. Amen. You won't do half fast. You won't start on day one, then pack it up on day seven. No. Fasting does not kill, but the devil does. This fasting to discipline your body so you can hear God. We said that fasting puts power behind your prayer. And so, but Jesus said, when you pray, that is Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when you pray, verse 15, he said, when you fast. He didn't say if you. So a prayerless Christian is a power. A prayerless Christian is food for the devil. A prayerless Christian is cheap victory for evil. You know, we say, well, we live in England. We don't know whether there is evil. Have you not heard what they call bad luck? They don't know what to call it. So they don't know what to call it. They say it's tough luck. If you don't know what to call it, they say it is bad luck. Evil is evil. If you like, give it a nice name. They say, he was just unlucky. Just unlucky. Everybody went through. Only him was held back. He said, he was just unlucky. Really? That's evil. There's no determination on earth that can withstand evil. Right? So prayer puts power behind your fasting. We said fasting attracts the favor of God. So we saw it in Esther. The Bible says in Esther, Esther said, I am going to approach the king. This kind of approach is never done. If I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says that, and the king saw Esther and gave Esther favor. So fasting makes, so these are the things I see God doing for you this next 21 days in Jesus' mighty name. And lastly, on Friday, we said fasting helps you fulfill prophecy. Fasting helps you fulfill prophecy. So fasting is very, very important. But today I want to prepare your heart for this fast. Amen. But before we do, I want you to look at this scripture in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, very quickly. Hebrews 12. I want you to take as much scriptures as you can. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. He did not know how to appropriate spiritual activities. He did not. He commonized his birthright. He said, what is, I'm hungry. What is this birth certificate to me right now? You know? So that will not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. You won't start this fast by 12 midnight, and then by 12 noon, you are looking at your wristwatch. You won't do that. That is the lifestyle of a man or a woman who has no mission. Fasting time is warfare time. Fasting time is warfare time. Fasting time is favor time. Fasting time is power time. Fasting time is show time. So you won't start fasting by 12 midday, then by 11 a.m. in the morning, you start looking at, no. No pregnant woman goes to the labor ward, and in the middle of the push, you say, can I have my McDonald's, please? That's advert. That is advert. I saw this program the other day. A man was having a haircut, and then the guy shaved his hair in a very bad way. They looked at the man, and then the guy looked at the barber, and then I think it was his wife cutting his hair. And then they gave him, what did they give him? Cake. He gave you cake. He just took off your hair, and you are, it's cake. Is that what is at stake right now? Is that what is at stake right now? Cake. So don't follow what you watch on TV. Is that what is at stake right now? Sandwich. So you must eat this sandwich. If you don't eat this lunch, you will die. Please, die. We will resurrect you. And then we'll move you on to day two of the fast. So there's so much at stake. When a prophetic word is spoken, it is time to intercede in the place of prayer to birth that which is spoken concerning you. And so the Bible says, for you know that afterward, that when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He missed his timing. So this is a time where we place value on spiritual things. It's a solemn fast. The Bible says, if your eyes are single, the whole body will be full of light. I want your entire destiny this year to be full of light. Full of light. We are not mucking around. From midnight to night, the game is on. By midnight to night, the prayer points for tomorrow will be dispatched. If you have not registered for the fast, go and register for the fast. gatewaychapel.org.uk/fast. Go and register. Philippians 3, verse 18. Philippians 3, verse 18. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Whose God is their belly. So these 21 days, your belly, your TV, your tongue, your body will not be your God. We are going to discipline this body until our spiritual ears pop open, and we will hear a voice behind us telling us which way to go. That is what we are doing. It's intense warfare. Elijah put his head between his knees because he gave a prophetic word. And you are a priest and a king in Jesus Christ. So there's no mucking around. We're not mucking around. It's power time. Yeah. So your TV will not be your God. Your belly will not be your God. If your stomach is rumbling by 2:45, tell your stomach, my friend, behave. If it starts rumbling, you will say, Pastor said so. Amen? Fasting does not kill. So what is the best way to maximize this fast? What is the best way? Number one, you prepare your heart in seeking God. That's number one. Your heart is God's access into your life. That's where we start from. We start from your heart. That's what this prep is all about. It's all about your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 that man look at the outwards, but God sees the heart. God sees your heart. What is your heart about this fast? What is your heart about this fast? It's a solemn fast. Praise God. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. Joel 2 verse 12. It says, now therefore, Joel 2, verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart first. Then with fasting, second. Then with weeping, supplication, and mournings, which is intercession. Turn to me with all your heart. So God must see your heart first. God must see your heart first. Many of us rush to start praying when our heart is not in alignment. Make sure your heart is in alignment. Make sure that you are genuinely born again. If you are not born again, come and see me after the service. So we say that prayer quickly. We position you for this breakthrough, right? Number two, make sure that you are not holding anybody in unforgiveness. Make sure. If anybody has offended you, let them go. This is not the time to settle score. Number three, make sure you too do not offend anybody. When you come into your office tomorrow, go into your offices or your schools with a smiling face, like someone who has met with Jesus. It is not the time to frown because you are not a Sadducee and neither are you a Pharisee. Does that make sense? Four. Is that number three or four? Number three. Number four, then prepare to study the word. Active engagement. Please give me 21 days out of 365. Let's settle this year once and for all. It's only 21 days. You can have a party on the 22nd of this month, but on the 29th of this month, but these 21 days, give it. Turn to me. So your heart first before fasting, your heart first before intercession, your heart first before supplication. Yeah? Proverbs 16 verse 1. We'll read this together. Are you blessed? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The devil is in trouble. Proverbs 16 verse 1. All right? Can we read this together? One, two, go. Okay. Pull up. One, two, go. The preparation of the heart belongs to... So the preparation of the heart is what determines what answers come from God. Some people just say, let's fast. Okay. And that's hunger strike. There's no preparation. There's no analysis. There's no thought, you know, and they just start, that's hunger game. Yeah, you do one, I do one. That's hunger game. The preparations of the heart belongs to your job is to prepare your heart. If the heart is not prepared, it doesn't matter what you say, God will not respond to it. The preparation of the heart belongs to what? You. That is, it is the responsibility of man to prepare his heart. But the answer of the tongue, the answer of the tongue is from God. But if the heart is not prepared, the tongue can never say what God wants to hear. That's why you have so many unanswered prayers. He said, but I've been believing God. But if we assess the spiritual weight of that believing God, it's nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So maybe God needs 90 grams of preparation. But you only have 2 grams of preparation. But your tongue is full of 90%. Oh God, kill my boss. Oh God, promote me. Oh God, all my enemy, let them fall down and die. Oh God. And God says, really? Like that? Just like that? So it is not in the volume of words. It's in the depth of the preparation. You don't see Jesus. Master, he has been dead 7 days, for 4 days. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. And he says, so? What does it matter? What does it matter whether I came now or I come in 400 years' time? What does it matter? Please excuse me. Lazarus, let's go home. And so the Bible says, he that has been dead for, did you not see how long it took him to prepare? They told him, your friend is very sick. He said, Master, did you not hear we said he's very sick? He said, yeah. He said, you thought we were mocking around here. He's dead. He said, don't worry, he's sleeping. 4 days of preparation, 4 minutes of tongue. 4 days of preparation. 4 minutes of tongue. But what do we have? We have 40 hours of tongue. 4 seconds of preparation. The heart is not ready. The guy is fasting. He's abusing everybody. The woman is fasting but fighting everybody. There is no preparation of heart. So God is not obliged to answer that tongue. Are you listening? This is a fast. I said we are growing together this year. We are growing together this year. When you are done with this fast, your friends too will know that your level has changed. When you are done, when you are done with this fast, so this is a proper fast, not hunger strike. There are so many people who engage in hunger strike. Yeah, but Pastor, how do you know it's hunger strike? Yeah, because God does not answer. Amen. So it is your heart that determines the answer. So you prepare it. Prepare that heart very well. So it's 21 days of in-depth reflection. You know, if it's a dentist, we're talking about cavity cleaning. I was saying, I want to go and see. I was having a bleeding gum. I go and see my doctor every now and then. She would just clean my teeth, you know. But I still have bleeding gum. And then one day somebody said, Pastor Eddie, you need to go and see an orthodontist, they call him. I said, there's nothing wrong with my bone. He said, no, it's not orthopedic. It's orthodontist. I'm telling you. So I started looking at them. They said, this one, I want to see one close to where I live. In fact, this woman, there are dentists and there are ortho. This one, you know, it's when you are going to the dentist place, you are afraid. This one, when you see her building, you'll be afraid. I said, so what do you do? Yeah, she said, because I don't want operation. I said, no. So we are doing deep cleaning. I said, that other one on the other side of the town that I've been going to, what does she do? He said, it's just cleaning. I said, so what do you do? He said, I do deep cleaning. I said, what does that mean? She said, you'll soon find out. She said, I need to numb you. I said, oh, please. I said, please, can you give me the injection on my butt? He said, no, we need to inject the gum. Then we first of all make it. In fact, when they numbed my mouth, halfway through, I was asking her, do I still have teeth? Because the way she was going, so she said that the reason why your gum is bleeding is because there are food deposits underneath your gum. So it's pushing against the blood vessels. So we need to go and clean under the teeth. So we are going deep. The other one doesn't inject my gum. Just put one paste under my gum. You know, put one paste and then start slapping my mouth. And then I say, I can still feel that, you know. And he said, sorry. As if I deck you here, you and I, I put you to sleep. You know, deep cleaning. So prepare your heart, please. It is your heart that determines what you receive. Anyone can utter prayers. Anyone can utter prayers. But God responds to the heart. God responds to the heart. God responds to the heart. Please prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. All right? So how do you prepare it? Make it very plain. Make it focused. Make it pure. Void of unforgiveness. Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. Joel 2. We'll look at verse 13. Joel 2 verse 13. Bring that up very quickly. When we're young Christians, we used to read the scriptures in Pastor Bola's fellowship. So it says, rend your heart and not your garment. That is, it's not about outward display of piety. No. People looking like believers, but they don't know God. Rend your heart, not your garment. In those days, the Pharisees, they say they are fasting. They wake up in the morning. They look so miserable. They tear their garment. He says, it's not about tearing your garment. It's not about looking holy. No, it's not. No. Don't do, say, he's saying, don't do Jesus for show. So that's why he's saying, do not do Jesus for show. He says, rend your heart. Tear your heart, not your garment. Dress your heart, not your body. Dress it up. Dress up your heart, not dress up your body. So dress up your body means that you look like it. You look the part, but there's no power. The Bible says having a form of godliness, but there's no power. So don't just look the part. That's what it's saying. No Jesus for sure. No. So it says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. So God does harm. He didn't say the devil. He relents from doing harm. So he does harm. He does harm. So how does God do harm? He ignores you. He ignores you. God doesn't answer all prayers. That's what fake prophets tell you. Doesn't matter what you do, what you say, just God. No. Prepare your heart. Rend your heart, not your garment. So he does harm. So God does harm. And he relents from doing harm. So God does harm. That's one thing we don't want to hear. Number two, what do you do? How do you prepare? How do you make good this fast? So number one, prepare your heart. Then number two, define your prayer objectives and your goals. Define it. Define it. We are going on a mission. I told you last year that God said that your dreams are too small, right? Define it. Why do you want to engage in this fast? Why do you want to do this fast? Why? It's part of your preparing your thought. I know why I want to engage on this fast. Why do you want to engage in it? Why? Define it. Where there are no definitions, there will be deviations, you know. Where there are no definitions, there will be what? Deviations. Where there are no definitions, deviations are inevitable. So some people will constantly deviate because there's nothing defined. To define something means to set it on stone. What your heart really desires. Fasting is an expression of our desperation. Prayer is an expression of our in-depth desire. So God doesn't hear prayers at times because people are, you know, desperate enough. There is no compulsive reason. There's no reason why. They asked me, one lady many years ago, why do you want to be a lawyer? She said, I like the gown. Oh, every time I see the wig, it's so beautiful. Do you understand? Define it. It starts this midnight. Define it. Why? Revelations 1. Revelations 1, verse 9. It says, I, John, are you there? I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos. I was on that island for two reasons. Number one, for the word of God. Number two, for the testimony of Jesus. Come on, say definition. What's your definition? I was on this island waiting on the Lord for two reasons, and two reasons only, the Bible says. So the reason why he was on that island was very clear. We will send prayer arrows tomorrow, to this night, for you to pray. But for what? Why are you on this mission? I know why I'm on this mission. Why are you on this mission? Do you understand? Verse 10 says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Of course he heard it. Of course he heard, because that's what he was looking for. He heard because that is what he was looking for. He was focused. He heard because he was focused. So define that thing and remain focused for 21 days. Define it. You don't have friends for the next 21 days. It's you and the Lord. Sorry, brother, I won't be able to call you tomorrow because we are fasting. And by 9 we are praying. And please, if I don't call you, don't be angry. Right? We're on the mountain. Let people leave you alone. Leave me alone for 21 days. Let me sort myself out. Praise the Lord. So definition, right? Esther 4. We see another definition here. So you see how people, you see how when you see God move on behalf of the Bible says that the things that we read in scriptures, they are for our examples. So you see how it was done, and then we appropriate the same. Esther chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 15, Esther 4, 15. Then Esther told them, let's go to verse 16. It says, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My mates and I will fast likewise, all right? And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. So she was going to do something that was out of the ordinary. Is there anything out of the ordinary you want to do this year? Is there anything out of the ordinary? There's something out of the ordinary that I'm believing God for. The 31st December, I saw this church in its full capacity. Over 200 children. And I saw the next generation. And I'm asking God, give me an opportunity to pastor these children. I went to the tent. We had a tent for these children. And I saw them. I said, Lord, this is the harvest. Give me an opportunity to pastor these children. A great door, an effective door, has been opened to me. He said, but there are many adversaries. So my fast is geared towards that harvest. What's your motive? What's your objective? So Esther said, I'm about to do something unusual. It's never done before. In fact, if it doesn't go well, man, guys, my head is off, because it will be considered disrespect to the king. Say, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I need favor. Because in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that the king saw Esther and favored her. So we saw that fasting can deliver favor. So, but she was, she didn't say, she was so specific why that fast was called, why she called that fast, and what she was going to do. So the call was specific, the definition was clear. So it should be clear in your mind. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Ezra chapter 8. See another brother here. Ezra 8. Pull that scripture up very quickly. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, whatever. Yeah? That we might humble ourselves before God in that fast. Why? He said to seek him, to seek from him the right way. To seek from him the right way for us. Is there something you want to do this year that you need the right way? Is there something? Is there something you want to do that you need God to show you the right way? When God wants to answer your prayer, he sends a man to you or he gives you wisdom for it. So is there anything you want to do? So he said, this is the reason why we are fasting. Praise the Lord. To seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. To seek from him. So when your stomach is rumbling by 11:45 tomorrow, tell yourself, no, I must see the right way. I must not sell out. I must not do an Esau. Don't do an Esau. Do not do an Esau. And the last one on that point is 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. In verse 3 it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. There was a siege against this king. So he proclaimed the fast. Lord, there must be a way out. Yeah, Lord, there must be a way out. There must be a way out. We won't end like this. We won't die like this. This is not your portion for us. We have received a prophetic word. We are the sons of Abraham. This is not, and they proclaim a fast on that account. And then God responded. So why are you fasting? Because Pastor Weddy said so? No, it's not good enough. Because it is what we do as a church every year? Seriously? Nah, it's not good enough. Do you understand? Why? So I want to suggest to you that you make your spiritual goals part of your agenda. Make your spiritual goals part of your agenda. Wisdom suggests that. That is what I would do if I'm in your shoes. See, I'm praying for the harvest of souls. I'm praying that God will use me to reach the next generation. So I will suggest that. I will suggest that you put God first. I will suggest that you ask God to give you the grace to fulfill the things you have on your spiritual goals, as your spiritual goals. I will suggest that you do that. Because that's what Solomon did. Yes, he had enemies to kill. But when God came down, that is not what he offered. He offered what was in God's heart. Does that make sense? So, if your heart is not right, God will not answer you. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the heathen seek, it says, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I'm not going to sit down and start asking for things. You know that this, you know the song we sing? He's a good, good father. Yeah. It's who you are. It's who you are. And what? I am loved by you. So he's a good, good father. Right? It is who he is. And I am loved by him. So I don't need to tell him I need to eat. I don't need to tell him I need. I put up our family account. I put up our family account. Was it yesterday? And I saw all manner of order. Then among that, I saw Uber. I said, I never knew that we have investment with Uber. So I thought, did these kids just open an account and just open one Uber account and I just plug the families into it? So they will come up and they will just wake up and just say, well, so how are you going? I'm going to Uber. Like they are earning a living. It's what I'm saying. But when I saw that, then I saw this, restaurant. What do you call this restaurant? The one you order online? Just it. Uber. Just it. Uber. Just it. Uber. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? That's me on my phone. What is going on here? Uber. Just it. Uber. Just it. Uber. Just it. I said, then I saw PayPal. That one is a very wicked one. That one is PayPal. All we do at home, we just wake up, ping pong, just delivery. We sign, we go back home. After 5 minutes, ping pong, we go out there, delivery, just come back home. Meanwhile, she's sleeping upstairs. But after all that shock, I still put the phone down and then put it aside. I didn't ask them because I'm a father. Neither did they call me and say, Dad, should I? When we were setting up that account, they didn't ask me. I don't have an Uber account. I don't have one. They did not consult with us. Neither did they find out whether if we take this thing out of the family, will it gonna go on overdraft or anything? They didn't care. They didn't ask. They just assumed that, well, it should be fine. And by not questioning it, I'm giving them the impression that it is fine. But I don't need to question it because I'm a father. And I believe I have responsible children. I also believe that Uber is not running from nightclub to school and school to nightclub. I know, it's not. And I'm human. So why should you have Uber on your list then? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why should you have Uber on your list? Why should you have Just Eat on your list? That's not what should be on your list. That's what your father gives you. That's what you draw. So you can't be fasting 21 days, kill my enemies. He doesn't know your enemies need to die. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know you need to eat. So your heavenly father doesn't know that you need to be clothed. He doesn't know that you need promotion. He doesn't know that you need to be at peace. He doesn't know you need to be happy. Does that make sense? So is that the subject of your prayers now? No. I don't know about you, but for me, no. And that was Solomon's. So my son, what do you want? He said, you know these people. I know you love them very much. I know you love them. Why don't you just give me this wisdom so I can lead them according to your heart? I said, Solo, my son. And I thought that your father impressed me. And you pull this one out of your heart, my son, Solo. Say, plus the one you did not ask. Plus the one you did not ask. Plus the one you did. So why is your list full of plus one? Why? Why are you trying to do your father's job for him? It's my job to provide for my kids. It's their job to draw. It's my job to feel. Don't try that. Don't even think about that. Don't even think about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's my job to do what? To refill. It's theirs to draw. It's God's job. That's why I said, listen, smart one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Solomon did. Praise the Lord. And lastly, number three, practice love throughout this period. Practice love. Practice love. Practice love. Practice love. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen for you? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread and with the hungry? He says, so fasting and prayer goes with giving. You know, fasting, prayer goes with giving all the time. This is the time that you should be most generous. It's not a time you get to the office and you are frowning your face. Everybody knows that you are fasting. It's not a time you get to the office, you are so moody, they are wondering why did you come to work on Monday morning. They say, oh, it's this time of the year. We know that this time of the year, she's always like this, you know, it's always like this. No. This is the time where you should be most generous, most excited. This is the time where you should help your neighbor. This is not the time you just bury your head in your Bible and say, are you coming out? No, I'm not coming out. Why? Nothing. In fact, the way you are shaking your head, nobody says, oh, whoa, 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 okay. Why should they be doing that? No. So it's prayer, fasting, and giving. They are all intertwined. So he's saying, is this not said to lose the bonds of the wicked? Lose somebody's bonds and undo heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. So forgive them, let them go. And that you break every yoke. Help someone break their yoke. So it's not the time you say, oh, well, me too, I have my own issues. That's why the issues are multiplying. Every man to his own, me too, I have my own issues. I say, well, keep at it. Keep at it, you and your issues. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man who feared God with all his household. They see the giving coming in again. So he's a devout man. He feared God. He prayed. He said, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Prayer and giving goes together. This is the time you should be your most generous. So when I mean generous, this is how you pray for so many people. Pray for others. This time you should be most compassionate, most sensitive. Amen. And so the Bible says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Your prayers and your giving. Your prayers and your giving. So this is the time where you should consider your neighbors. Consider your friends. Be sensitive. Have a large heart. Don't just pray your own self-consuming prayers. Pray for other people. Your prayers and your alms have come up. He now said, listen, it says, verse 5, said, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. You see that? So your prayer and your alms have come up. Look at the result. He will tell you what you must do. So prayers and giving attract destiny helpers. You see the combination. See the combo. Prayers and giving, they go together. They attract destiny helpers. So prayer, fasting, giving attracts destiny helpers. Prayer. So this is the time you should be the most generous. When you get to the office tomorrow, when you sit and say, wake up, go and make coffee for everybody. I say, coffee anyone? He said, yes, please, black, two sugar. But you will never get up. You will never get up. You won't. And when you see people's cups are running dry, that's when you will sit down and you put your head down. And then bring your Bible and start to... No, that's not the time to read the Bible. That's the time to go and serve others. Do you understand? We close with Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, your church. You see that? Let us do good, verse 10, Galatians 6, 10. Let us do good to all. So you must do good to all. He said, but those in the household of faith, they deserve special preference. Make sure you are generous towards them. That's why we carry on our offering baskets. We carry welfare. Tickets for someone's welfare. We will never allow those in need in our church, in this church, to be paraded because they have a need. No, never. We will never rob any man of their dignity because they have a need. Once upon a time, I used to have a need myself. I used to have needs myself. So we never parade anybody, those who are in need, but we bless them in secret. Amen? We bless them in secret. Because the Bible says, especially to those in the household of faith, they come first. You understand? None should be poor in our midst. Even if they are, we won't tell you. Amen? Even those who are in need in our midst, we make them look the $1 million. We won't tell you. Do you understand? Rise to your feet and let us pray. I want you to raise your voice to heaven this morning. I want you to be determined for something to be heaven, to be open, determined for something to happen because our heaven is loaded this January, very loaded. Raise your hand to heaven and begin to pray and say, Lord, I am ready for the trip of my life. I am ready for the journey of my life. This fast, I am ready for the journey of my life in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm praying. Meet me at the point of my need. Come on, pray. Pray that prayer. Fasting is an expression of our desperation. That man cried. He said, Son of Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. It was a cry of desperation. His mates told him, my friend, be quiet. Say, no, don't tell me to be quiet. This is my time. I hear that Jesus is around the corner. I can't see him, but I know he's around. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he kept crying until Jesus heard him. Come on, raise your voice and say, Lord, this fast, let it be the fast. Let it be the one. This 21 days of prayers, let it be. Let it be the one that settles me once and for all. Come on, raise your voice and pray. Come on, raise your voice and pray. Let it be the one that will settle me once and for all. Let it be the one that will settle me once and for all. I am ready for this fast. Holy Spirit, prepare me. Prepare my mortal body. Prepare my mind. Prepare my soul. Prepare my heart in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, oh God, as a church, as a people, we pray, Lord, that you take us on this journey. Lead us by night by the pillar of fire. Lead us by day by your pillar of cloud. In the name of Jesus, let the next 21 days be 21 days of visitation, 21 days of intercession, 21 days of supplication. Lord, we pray, oh God, we pray, oh God, that from heaven you will answer us with thunder and with lightning. You will answer us, your people, in the name of Jesus. You will grant everyone under the sound of my voice, you will grant them the desires of their heart. Lord, we ask, oh God, for favor like Esther. We ask, oh God, that you will show us the way like Ezra. We ask, oh God, that you will deliver like Jehoshaphat, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Let this be the fast and the prayers that put paid to every concern of us, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the adoration. Jehovah, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, you may be seated.